Today we continue the series that we began last week with Epiphany as we look at how the light of Christ is being revealed and how his identity is being revealed through the course of this season, our theme being arise and shine. Today we see in the waters of baptism the identity of Jesus being revealed. Identity is something that's important to us. It's an important thing when we're whether we're talking about our personal information, our credit history, identity theft is just commonplace, right, in our world today when the credit bureau got hacked and millions of people's information was potentially stolen. That made international news, I suspect. It's a pretty big deal. Did you check it? Did you go on and key in your information or part of it? And did you get what I got? Your information may have been compromised. Well, that's real definitive. I kind of already knew that, I think. And now I just saw in the last couple of days an advertisement for you could go and one time scan for free of the dark web to find out if your information is out there on the dark web. I don't know. It's like kind of freaks me out to think there's this dark web. I don't know what that is. I'm a little nervous about going there, you know. It's like the dark side. It sounds like I might get sucked in and all of a sudden, you know, now I'm, you know, pulled into the dark side. Our information, our identity is important. It's important for us to try as much as we can to protect it, to, you know, keep our information secure as much as we possibly can. So that when the question ever comes up, we can answer the question, who are you? So who are you? Do this if there's somebody sitting near you. If you've met him or not, just introduce yourself. Ready, go. Who are you? All right, as you introduced yourself to someone sitting near you, there's a good chance you're sitting near someone you already know. But did you say your name? How many did? A number of us. Why? Because it's important. It's an important piece of who we are is our name. Who are you? My name is, right? If I were to introduce myself to a person Brett, you know, met for the first time, I'm John. That's my name. There were people who were visiting for the very first time at 8 o'clock service this morning, and I introduced myself to them. Hello. And in this context, I'm Pastor John. Welcome. That's my first piece of information. I learned their names. It's part of how we introduce ourselves. And a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Jesus' identity in his name. That the name of Jesus that was, you know, stuck on him as a label before he was even born. Both Mary and Joseph were told, name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. We don't hear it in his name, but the name of Jesus in the Hebrew, and Aramaic being a related language, whichever one they would have spoken, and the origin of that name, Yeshua, is he saves. So in the name, there's meaning for Jesus. Our names tend to shape us in a certain extent, of who we are and what our lives become. Our name and information appear on our birth certificate, our very first piece of identification, physical piece of that. And what is included includes your name, includes your birth date, where you were born, the time you were born, parents' names, and things like that. All those get connected into who we are. But identity is more than a name. If I'd given you more than like 12 seconds to introduce yourself to a person, and especially if it's someone you don't know, what's the inevitable question? What do you do, right? It kind of follows when we're getting connected with people. What do you do? What brings you here? Why are you in this area? Are you here for work? That was my question to the people who were 8 o'clock service. They're from Texas. Well, welcome to the area. Are you moving here? Are you just visiting? What brings you here? I'm here for work. What do you do? Things we've accomplished are part of our identity. a student gathering, a lot of times the question is, you know, introduce yourself. What's your name? What school do you go to? And where are you in that, you know, school process? What grade are you in? So it's not just people who are employed, but students as well. How you look is often part of who you are, traits that we have. You know, if you're going to be wanted, there might be a police sketch that gets done of you. The perpetrator was 5'7 and blonde. That rules me out, see. I want you to make sure you don't think I did it. Rachel, that might be you. You're 5'7 and blonde. That's not an accusation. I'm not saying that, you know, Rachel's guilty of anything. Although the security system of the church did go off in the middle of the night. Actually, it went off like 11 o'clock last night. Security alarm here in this building did go off. And so I get the call because I live close. And so my phone rings and I answer it and they tell me that security system went off. I'm like, this is a strange time for it to go off. And it's Saturday night and okay, go ahead and dispatch the police and I'll drive over there. So I came over. They knew I was coming and they knew what my truck looks like. So as soon as I pulled in, they walk over. But at some point, you know, they want to make sure that I'm who I say I am. And what's your name? And why are you here? I'm the pastor of the church. This is my name. We don't think anything happened. It was possibly faulty sensors or maybe a large enough rodent to trip a motion sensor. At this point, we're still unsure, but the building looked secure. Your personality, your abilities are part of who we are, our heritage, our background, our DNA, our relationships, family in particular, is part of who we are. Who's your family? Where do you come from? What's your heritage like? That's part of our identity. I have an increased interest in my own family tree over the last couple of years. I've thought more about where am I from? Where do I come from? You know, who's in this family tree of mine? Today in our Bible class, we studied words from Matthew and Luke that describe the genealogy of Jesus. One starts from Jesus and works backward. One starts from Abraham and works forward. And they kind of meet there at Jesus. There's some issues with that because they're different. There's some names that don't seem to match. See, these words that we often skim over, you know. Who likes reading the parts where it's, you know, so-and-so begat so-and-so. We skim through those words most often, right? We see some of the names we know. David, I know that name. Solomon, yeah, that's the name I know. Jehoiakim, Jehoiakim, who are these guys? What do we know about them? We can know quite a bit about a number of people who appear in the genealogy, but then there's other names we don't know anything about. And there's differences, and it's kind of confusing. So we often skip over it, but it's important. And there's importances in it because Jesus was of the house of David. And if you believe that the two genealogies, one is Joseph's and one is Mary's, then both can trace their line back to David. Jesus, a son of David. And that's important because David was promised that one of his heirs would sit on the throne forever. Oh, that's a key piece of information. And Jesus' line goes back to Abraham. And with Abraham, there was a promise that through him, through his offspring, all nations of the world would be blessed. So it's important to trace these pieces. Who are you? Who are you has to do with who we have come from with our genealogy. But Jesus is more than his human ancestry. In this passage about his baptism, the identity of Jesus is revealed, is declared. Along comes John. John the Baptist is kind of a unique guy, right? Clothed in camel's hair, a leather belt around his waist, eating locusts and wild honey. I mean, that's a really curious description, isn't it? This is the guy who's the forerunner of Jesus, a guy wearing some kind of weirdo clothes and eating bugs. But John is fulfilling the role of prophet, even in what he's wearing, even the clothing that he's choosing, where he is out in the wilderness. So his location, his clothing, his message, all of it is pointing to his identity as prophet and forerunner of Jesus. And John, who's asked in other readings, are you the one? Are you the Christ? John's like, no. I'm not even worthy to tie his shoes. I'm not him. There's one who is to come. So John's already pointing toward one who is to come, and that one is, we know, Jesus. But there's more. Then at the river, in verse 11, as he's baptized, the voice from heaven comes, you are my beloved son. With you, I'm well pleased. Another version of the story puts it in the third person. This is my son. Who heard the voice? It's a little bit unclear in Mark. It's just directed toward Jesus, but did other people hear it? That's hard to say, but it's Luke's gospel that it talks about, this is my son, and we believe that people around heard that same voice. That voice from heaven that's declaring Jesus' identity as Son of God. Just imagine that for a moment. The heavens being torn open. There's a violent kind of connotation in that. That the heavens are torn open and the Spirit of God is coming. And the voice, and I think it's, you know, we have this picture of Jesus' baptism. And it's real peaceful and the dove and all that. Which I think is a pretty tame way to describe the Spirit of God. But in that scene with this violent tearing of the heavens and the Spirit of God present and the voice, I have a feeling this voice of God, like, this is going to rattle the windows kind of voice, right? It's going to shake the earth. It's not like, oh, you're my son, right? It's God cannot have a wimpy voice. The God I believe in has a nice, deep baritone, you know, commanding kind of voice. And all that is present, and Jesus' identity is declared as Son of God, announced by God himself, and his identity is really important. It's important to know who Jesus is, and by faith we know and can identify who he is. Son of God, because a believer's identity is in Jesus. Knowing who Jesus is shapes who we are, contributes to who we are. Disciples find their identity in him. John's mission gets completed in Jesus. Like when Jesus shows up, John's done. John's kind of the central figure early in a couple of Gospels. Here in Mark, John shows up, and then Jesus comes, and almost immediately, John's right out of the picture, right? You know, he's the guy that opens the scene and then fades quickly into the background. In John chapter 1, that's where it's describing, you know, John came and he was the forerunner and he was fulfilling scripture that would say that, you know, one would come before Jesus, before the promised one. And so John is there, and in John's gospel, different John. In John's gospel, then he almost immediately fades into the background. We get a little bit more about John and his disciples who come to Jesus and ask if he is the one, and, you know, then later with Herod and all that. But John's centrality to the narrative is quickly over as soon as Jesus comes. John's identity is wrapped up into Jesus. And then Jesus goes and calls his disciples and tax collectors and fishermen. They come together, and their identity is shaped and shifted by Jesus. We'll get into that more later, about those disciples, those followers of Christ. But then among the two who traveled the most, traveled as apostles, as sent ones, among those two, both had their name was changed from the Pharisee persecutor transformed to proclaimer, is one named Saul, whose name became Paul. And among those fishermen, Simon, who was then Peter. Even their names were changed as their identities were changed in Christ. Our identity is also changed in him, because through baptism we are his. If you're a regular worshiper here, you probably walked in and thought, that baptismal font is not usually there. It's a little bit out of place. But because we're talking about baptism today, I wanted this not just to be central in our conversation, but even in our furniture arrangement, that the baptism is a central piece of our belief and our relationship with Christ, because through baptism, we're his. God claims us as his children. There's been many times I've thought, wow, wouldn't it be cool if it worked the same way? Wouldn't it be great if every time we brought someone to baptism, we baptize all ages, because we don't see any restriction for baptism anywhere in Scripture. So from birth till old age, everyone's eligible for the sacrament. And wouldn't it be great if any time someone came to the waters of baptism, the same things happened, like heaven opened, and we could see it, you know, peeking through one of these windows. We could see that happen, and the Spirit of God coming, you know, and we could then understand, what's this dove thing all about? And then the voice would say in that James Earl Jones kind of tone, that's my child. It doesn't happen that way, but by faith we receive those same things, those same promises, those same claims. We are sealed with the Spirit. And the identity of those who believe is changed, because whose is more important than who you are? Whose is more important? Whose you are is more important than who you are. Can you imagine if we all introduced ourselves in the way that we did, instead of, hi, my name is? What if we began with, hi, I'm a follower of Jesus? That would be different. That would surprise a lot of people, I'm sure. You know, you meet somebody at the grocery store. Hey, how you doing? Who are you? Oh, I'm a follower of Jesus. It's like the very first thing you say. It's unlikely that we will take that practice, but if you're willing, try it. Because that is who you are. You are a child of God through faith in him, claimed by him, an heir of salvation, and loved by him. Loved deeply. Loved beyond what we can comprehend. Loved so much that he had to rescue us. That he had to come for us. That he had to take on humanity, the frailty of flesh, and enter into this broken place, the Son of God, the one who was declared there at the river, had to come for us because we could not go to him. So he came for us to rescue us, and we were baptized now into his death. That sounds kind of weird. But that's how Paul describes it in Romans 6. That we're baptized into the death of Christ. Yikes. We're buried with him by baptism into his death. If there's ever been a death you wanted to be connected to, you want to be entered into, isn't it the death of the one who destroyed death? Whose death didn't last? Who shattered death forever in the resurrection? That's the death we're baptized into. We're baptized into the death of the one who is alive, who didn't stay in the grave. The description doesn't end with we're baptized into his death. It also connects us to his resurrection. so that we are raised again. What does it say? We are raised to new life. We have new life in Christ. We're buried with him by baptism into his death, and just as we are connected to his death, we are also connected into his resurrection. So that we can walk about in this newness of life. I like the translation that's walk about. Because the Greek word actually is kind of like that. Peripateo is the Greek word. Write that down real quick. It's peri, like perimeter, and pateo is the word about kind of walking. So walking around. So it's not just, you know, walk, but where we go in a kind of a meandering sense, we walk around in this newness. Wherever we go, we're in this newness of life. It's not just like in our Christian walk kind of idea, the way we use that word in a metaphorical sense, like our spiritual life has this walk to it. No, we're walking around. We're walking about. What we do is new as we're living in this identity in Christ. Your identity in Christ makes you new, and it's an identity that cannot be stolen, cannot be taken from you. It is secure. Regardless of what's on the dark web, your identity in Christ is secure through faith in him. And no one can change that. No one can compromise that. He's called us by name. In the waters of baptism, your name is spoken over you. In the rite, the oftentimes child, but anyone who's baptized, the name is spoken when you're baptized. Baptize you, name, in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in that, you're claimed by name. He knows you by name. He knows your name. And he gives you a new name in Christ. Your identity is established by what he accomplished. Not by what we do. Not by our abilities or skills, habits, or anything else. Not by our traits. If we're, you know, 5'2 and black hair, 5'7 and blonde hair, 5'10 and hair is changing color. Or, you know, 6'2 and you're losing your hair. It doesn't matter. Our identity is secure and complete in Christ through his accomplishments, through the things he did, not what we could ever do. It's rooted in Christ. He is the top of our spiritual family tree. We're all descendants now of Christ, and he makes us new through the washing of regeneration, which is Paul's description in Titus 3 of baptism. You're washed. You're cleansed. You're claimed. You're renewed, and your identity is in Jesus. Who are you? You are his. And he gives us now traits and abilities as disciples to use them for him. And he says of his followers, you are the light of the world. Arise, shine. It's our theme for this season. Shine like Jesus calls us to shine. Last week, I talked about being the moon and reflecting the light of the sun. That it's not our light, it's his light. Yesterday morning, we had an early morning elders meeting. And as I left my house to come, I looked in the sky and I saw the moon was shaped kind of like this, a crescent-shaped moon. And I thought, you know, last week we put the big full moon on the screen and we talked about being the moon. And how often do we feel like we're fully and completely reflecting the light of Jesus? If you're like me, it's not all that often. You feel like I'm about halfway there, right? You know, sometimes this is a little bit not reflective of Jesus. Sometimes all I can muster is this sliver that's pointing to Jesus. And I looked in the sky and I saw that crescent and I thought, how often are we like that? That's kind of how we are. More of a partial reflection of Jesus than a full moon. But then I realized, you know, even in the crescent shape of the moon, you know where the sun is. In this picture, you could tell me where the sun is, can't you? If not, it would be like over there. So even in that sliver, we can still point to Jesus. Even when we feel like we're not really reflecting him as much as we would want to, we can still point to Jesus. Arise and shine and live in this new identity that we have been given. Point to Jesus, the one who's given you a new identity, the one who secures your identity, the one through the waters of baptism has claimed you as his. The voice that came at Jesus' baptism, "This is my son," comes to you. "This is my son. This is my daughter. You are his." Live in that identity. Reflect the light of Christ to glorify him. Amen.